Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to an inexperienced team is to get that lead at home.
Jim Rome at one.
It opened up the discussion more than it's ever been open before. There's a reality now that these players could get paid to play.
Eggfinity Sports Day at 11.
The idea that this stuff is green and saving the planet is one of the biggest lies that is perpetuated on the American people.
Now Amy Oliver on News Talk 1310 KFKA.
Celebrating here on the Amy Oliver shows. Pretty good night last night if you are part of the conservative movement. Probably the best night we've had certainly since prior to 2004, that's for sure. When many of us stood there, when everybody was cheering because George Bush had won re-election, and those of us at the state level were looking around and just said, what happened? It was funny. A friend of mine told me last night, she said, you know, you don't remember probably. We were out to dinner 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago. And she said, you told us it was really bad. And she goes, I wasn't really sure. And she goes, then I realized how bad it could get. And it did. And, you know, talking about what a great night last night was. United States Senate is now in conservative hands. Well, Republican hands. I'm not going to say conservative. Republican hands. President Obama, who had no president had had that much power in a very long time. Filibuster-proof Senate, supermajority in the House. He could do whatever he wanted. Now doesn't have control of the state. Of the House of Representatives and doesn't have control of the Senate. Part of that due to Cory Gardner winning last night. But part of the big news here at the state of Colorado level, besides the fact that Cory Gardner won, is what happened with the state legislature. Right now, it looks like we are poised to win the state Senate. Looks like we lost two seats, picked up three. So control of the state Senate and possibly control of the state House, and it's huge for energy policy. Here to talk about it on this day after the election, November 5th, 2014, on the Amy Oliver Show with me is Michael Sandoval, Independence Institute's energy policy analyst. Michael was on, you were on, I think, what, yesterday or Monday? I can't remember. It's all blended together, talking about turnout and all that jazz. Real quickly, where did we end up with turnout in the election?
Well, I think we're going to be looking at once all of the ballots are counted, the top of the ticket races, either for governor or for U.S. Senate. It looks like right at about 1.9 million. So we'll have to make sure and cure all the ballots, but that's probably where we're going to come out once you factor in spoiled ballots and undervotes and all that other stuff. So with about 90%+ in, we're still waiting on some counties and some precincts. For example, in the Senate race, the very, very top of the ticket, at this point we're looking at almost 1.8 million. So Maybe not 1.9 million, maybe a little over 1.8 million total votes. So a little less than the 2.2 or 2.1 million I think we discussed yesterday as a possible high-end number.
Hey, one of the things that I have, when you start looking at, break it down, and we'll get into, for instance, what this means in the state legislature. You know, I'm looking at, I just real quickly pulled up Adams County. Mm-hmm. And when I look at Adams County, I'm seeing a county that, when it comes to political demographics, seems to be changing. Just as an example, Judy Solano lost. She's Democrat. She lost to Beth Humanick. We have state, or we have county commissioners, several Republicans winning there. Republican won clerk and recorder. Republican won treasurer. Republican won county assessor. Republican won for sheriff. And we're seeing some shifting demographics. And Michael, you've been around, you've seen this for a long time. You've been here as long as, you know, certainly as long as I have, even though you're much younger, you started at a way younger age. That Democrat machine, that infrastructure that has served them so well, if you look at what happened last night with state legislative races in particular, and then we'll get into energy policy, it kind of goes to show you that political power shifts. It's a pendulum. When you get arrogant, you overreach. You can't just pop in anybody into the infrastructure and expect to win.
No, and I think Adams is an interesting case, given some of the shenanigans over the years with officials and government in that county. Adams doesn't have a stellar track record when it comes to stuff like that. But I think it was interesting last night. You know, looking at the 12 battleground counties that I've just sort of always look to, because it counts for more than 85% of the votes cast in the state. You know, Adams, Arapahoe, Boulder, Broomfield, Denver, Douglas, El Paso, Jefferson, Larimer, Mesa, Pueblo, and Weld counties. And Pueblo last night actually went to Gardner, and that sort of blew my mind. It's one. If you line up all the counties and put them in Democrat counties, Republican counties, and sort of toss-up counties, Democrats have traditionally been, Boulder, Denver, obviously, but Adams and Pueblo have tended to be, fairly reliable, if not for big margins, but they go, sort of consistently with Democrats. And last night, Corey, beat Udall, and in a place, Vestas is in the backyard of Pueblo, one of the manufacturing plants of Vestas. I mean, Udall spent hours of time the last 6 years talking about how much he loved wind energy. Vestas is big down there, yet Corey still managed to win in Pueblo, which I wouldn't have seen coming.
In places like Pueblo, in places like Adams, where those two counties, where it's not progressive left. It seems to be sort of blue dog Democrat. I look at Lois Talktrop, who you may not be with her on a lot on some issues, but with her on energy issues, Keystone Pipeline, energy development, this progressive environmental left that drove up the cost of energy in places like Pueblo, in places like Adams County. Does that make a difference? Are we seeing that split in the big Democrat tent, that progressive left tent, that did such a great job of keeping labor and eco-lefties together, that even though the AFL-CIO came out in favor of Mark Udall, and oh shock, so did MoveOn.org. But you see voters going, not buying it. This is a guy who's this guy was trying to put me out of business.
Well, yeah, and that would be a good way of explaining the difference between, the two, Boulder and Denver, which would be sort of hard left or progressive left, eco left kind of voters, and Adams and Pueblo more blue collar. I'd love to hear from Democrats if they vote. Adams County, Gardner is behind latest numbers that I'm seeing, less than 100 votes. So we're talking about a very close race in Adams. But if you want to talk about overall, top of the picture splits last night, Denver and Boulder delivered handily for Hickenlooper, even though his margin isn't that large. He thinks he sort of had a mandate for another 4 years based on a victory of about 20,000 plus votes. What happened was Boulder and Denver in the Senate race were not able to overtake El Paso and Douglas this time, and the vote difference in those counties was only about 23,000. And if you look at a county like Weld County, Gardner made up the difference really quickly. But Denver and Boulder did really exceed the measure for Hickenlooper. And El Paso and Douglas came up short in that regard. There was about an 18,000 vote difference between Gardner and Beaupré in Douglas and El Paso counties. And so, you're looking at a 20-something thousand vote victory and an 18,000 vote deficit that Beaupré had in the two key Republican counties. Looks like some ticket splitting and perhaps maybe some lingering hostility from the primary might have occurred, in addition to other things like having issues with Bob's comments on IUDs, for example. So it's still a little bit of a mixed bag. I think everybody was hoping to if they got one, they could get the other, but it doesn't look that way. So that'll be interesting setup for the energy discussion over the next 4 years with the reelected governor.
Let's talk about that in just a minute, Michael. It's 15 minutes after 10. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back, I do want to get into what energy policy may look like. I had hoped that Bob Beaupré would be governor so we would get an entirely new PUC commission. That being said, we still have there is some legislation that likely will be needed to implement some of the new EPA rules, and yet will have to go through the state legislature. And if that's in Republican hands, that legislation looks much different than it would have had it been passed, in the last legislative session. So let's talk about what legislation or what energy policy could look like for the next 2 years. 16 minutes after 10, I'm talking with Michael Sandoval. What are the effects of the election results? What is it going to mean for energy policy going forward? More in just a moment. 20 minutes after 10 in the Mountain Time Zone. Welcome back to the Amy Oliver Show. Wednesday, November 5th, 2014, day after the election. Analyzing what those results mean. Did K-12 education in the last hour. Talking about energy policy now. What do the election results mean for energy policy? Coming up in just a few moments. If this were To Tell the Truth, the game show, it would go something like this. The line would be, will the real Mark Uterus please stand up? Yes, he will be unveiled. You guys have heard me talk about him. You've heard me laugh out loud about it. The whole war on women meme was really the big loser of the night. Sorry, Mark Uterus, you fought it was a valiant effort. It was a... You fought like it was 1965, but you lost. Who is the person behind the Twitter profile? We'll have him on in just a moment. Hey, I do want to thank one of my sponsors, the Good Samaritan Society Bonnell Community, located at 708 22nd Street in Greeley, serving seniors the full continuum of care since 1937, and they've been doing it with this philosophy that in Christ's love, everyone is someone. And isn't that what we all want, regardless of what the service is? So visit with the Good Samaritan Society wherever you are in your journey in life. On the web, good-sam.com, good-sam.com. Find them in person, 708 22nd Street in Greeley. That's where the Bonnell community is located. So 708 22nd Street in Greeley, tell them that I, Amy Oliver, sent you. So talking about energy policy, talking about what the election results mean, we found out just a few minutes ago, I mean, it's sort of been called, it's been, I guess, made official that John Hickenlooper eked out a victory. And he seems to have found religion with his statement. He said he doesn't want to dwell on wedge issues. And I love this. He's not going to just listen to people. He's actually going to hear what they're saying. I'm wondering if that means my husband, Sheriff John Cook, who will now be down at the state capitol, when he wouldn't listen to him at all during the gun control battle. Wonder if he will hear him now. But let's talk about energy policy. Hick doesn't want to dwell on wedge issues. And I guess my question is, does that mean, Michael, something like hydraulic fracturing? Does that mean renewable mandates for rural electric co-ops? He doesn't want to dwell on them. He's going to hear what people are saying. If the makeup of the state legislature has changed, I mean, there is time to roll back SB 252, the renewable mandate. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my optimism will be dependent on how things turn out finally in both the state House and the state Senate. But at least now it appears like there might be the possibility of, if not turning back, at least holding the line after the last 4 years, especially the last 2 years. So, you know, if the governor wants to actually hear people this time, you know, part of the closeness of the race, you know, for whatever Bob did as a challenger this time, Hickenlooper lost a lot in terms of his own personal Teflon. You know, things started to stick when he went off course in 2013 in that legislative session when he didn't listen on the guns issues. Didn't listen on very extreme, you know, eco-left and partisan measures that went through the legislature. He didn't veto anything. He sort of let it all go, and he lost his credibility as that moderate, that, you know, work with everyone, brew pub guy who could, you know, get things done, compromise, in his mind, compromise is the best, and he didn't do that, and, you know, combined with several other missteps, he made this election much more difficult for himself. So we'll see how the State House and Senate turn out, but he's going to have very different, likely, if that is the case, bills in front of him to go over, and you know, there an opportunity to have actually, if Republicans have at least one of those houses, to have some floor debates, some necessary conversation on some of these issues, where he's going to get a chance, he's going to get an earful on some of these issues, depending on the bills that are introduced, especially on energy. So, you also have, you know, right off the bat, in the case of his fracking commission, is this going to make the fracking commission come out with a very, very, you know, sort of extreme, you know, the best possible scenario for anti-fracking, and it's just going to get, you know, walloped by the time it gets to the state legislature? That's a possibility. It might have essentially sealed a ballot measure when the advocates feel it's most advantageous for them to run one. Probably, you know, 2015 is not the year they might shoot for 2016 when it's a presidential election. So, just on that one issue alone, the outcome might have been determined by last night. It's even with his very slim victory, he doesn't have that free reign that he had the last 2 years.
No, nor does the environmental left. The environmental left does not have it will not have a stranglehold on the state capitol the way they did. Brandon Ritterman of Channel 9 is saying most likely the Colorado legislature balance of power will be Republicans control Senate by one, Democrats will control House by one. We'll see if that still if that still is out there. But what you see after a complete dominance at the state level, you were starting to see people. You know, there were recalls based on a state legislature that didn't listen. Governor has lost credibility. This idea that there was a progressive eco-left mandate isn't there anymore. I mean, that you can't hold out that narrative as and say that it's actually realistic. I want to ask about this, though. Now let's go to the U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the production tax credit for wind? Joni Ernst has said she, out of Iowa, who won out of Iowa, not a fan, won't vote to renew. Cory Gardner has voted to renew, but saying it has to be phased out.
Well, I think that this will be one of those, in our world of energy, one of those tests of whether or not a new Republican majority in the Senate is going to stand on some principles and the government policy of picking winners and losers, in this case in wind. And so if Joni Ernst stands up for that and says she's not going to vote for it, that'll be huge, because Iowa is one of the biggest advocates. You know, the farming community out there love the revenue that they can get from you know, allowing the wind turbines on their farms. So there's a lot of push for that. I'm sure there's some similarities in places in Colorado and Wyoming that have that. We'll see if that if we can have that conversation. And you know, it's not an attack on Cory. We've talked about, you and I have talked about Cory's position and our position, and it's easier to have a conversation with someone like that than it was to have it with Senator, you know, now ex-Senator Udall. So, you know, it might be phased out much quicker or not renewed in some fashion. You know, Washington works in interesting ways, so you never know what sort of alchemy they might come up with you know, in a phase out or, you know, some modification where, you know, they might end the production tax credit, but come up with some other,
right,
some other subsidy, some other way to, you know, kind of do the same thing or do something similar. And so we'll have to see. But that'll be one of the first tests. And since we're not partisan at the Independence Institute, and energy policy is what we do, we'll be holding Cory's feet to the fire, I think, on that one. But doing it with a smile rather than sort of being adversarial like it was with a Democratic majority in the Senate and a Democrat in at least one, you know, or both of the seats in Colorado. So, I mean, there's more opportunity for conversation there. But it's pretty clear that we don't see eye to eye on that. But there are other opportunities to do some energy stuff with Cory in the Senate now, as opposed to Senator Udall. So,
absolutely.
Keystone XL pipeline, we have, you know, that's on the menu. Number of issues we could talk about.
Yeah, and the new EPA regs will be a big one, and we'll follow up on that.
Sure.
Hey, Michael, got to run. Thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for your insight into all of this, as turnout and energy policy. It's a fun day to be a Republican, finally. 31 minutes after 10, coming up in just a moment. Will the real Mark Uterus say a few words? The answer is yes. You'll hear from him in just a moment, right after we check in at the 24-Hour News and Weather Center. Five minutes after 10 in the Mountain Time Zone. Welcome back to the Amy Oliver Show on News Talk 1310 KFKA. Day after the election. So much to talk about in so little time. I'll have more. Some interesting stories out of the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal talking about President Obama and how will he react. Well, we'll find out later on. Apparently he's going to have some kind of comments. We'll see. Does anybody really believe the guy's going to be a gracious loser? I mean, seriously, he has the thinnest skin of anybody I know in politics. But we'll get into that tomorrow. In just a moment, what have I been talking about for the last 6 months? And some of you have pointed out, in fact, last night, I think it was somebody came up to me and said, I think you've been talking about that whole war on women thing for 6 months. I said, I know, because it's made me crazy for that long. And I actually did a little rant on YouTube. Nah, it's not public yet. We were playing around with some stuff about, I want Gloria Steinem to leave me alone. I want her to stop emailing me. Stop trying to tell me there is a sexist Republican around every single corner. And that somehow, some way, I'm stuck back in 1965. Heck, I feel like the Outlander series where I touched the stones and I got thrown back in time. And I don't, so they're looking around going, it's 2014, sister. Can you please stop fighting like it's 1965? Well, then we have Mark Uterus, who went from pandering to parody thanks to Mark Uterus. And in just a moment, you get to hear from the real Mark Uterus. We will unveil him. Who is he? You'll find out his name in just a moment. First of all, I do want to thank Perry's Vac and So, 4875 West 10th Street in Greeley. Family owned and operated since 1947. Joe and Henrietta Perry just carrying on that tradition. Great folks over at Perry's Vac and So. Best products, best prices, best customer service. It's not rocket science, but it's amazing how many retailers don't get it. Perry's Vac and So, they do. Go visit them, 4875 West 10th Street in Greeley, and please tell them that I, Amy Oliver, sent you. Now, for the moment you all have been waiting for, the real Mark Uterus is...
A man named John Daly. I live here in Greeley. I'm a local writer and author.
I got to tell you, you made the last few weeks of the election more fun than I could have possibly imagined. I just figured it would be pot shots back and forth with the rest of us. Up pops this Twitter profile, Mark Uterus. Somebody sends it to me. I start looking. I go, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And just to let people know, I had done a little digging, and I had said to my husband, John, I said, this guy's from either Greeley or Weld County. Just couple of, there are ways to tell from either Greeley or Weld County. And eventually, with I guess it was just about a week ago, maybe, or maybe 10 days ago, you and I had some direct messages, and you outed yourself. And I told you, your secret is safe with me until you do it publicly, and you did it last night. You said who you are. First of all, tell us about yourself. You're John Daly. Who are you? I'm going to look at this. Who is this person? He doesn't have this high Twitter profile. Who are you?
Well, no, yeah, my name is John Daly. I've lived in Greeley now since I think about 1996 when I graduated from UNC. Worked at up here as a software programmer for many years. Over the past few years, I've been a writer and an author.
What kind of books do you write?
I write sort of suspense, thriller, mystery, that sort of genre.
We're going to talk more about that in the next segment. But
sure. I also write a weekly piece for Bernie Goldberg's site, Fox News contributor. I've been doing that for about 3 years.
How'd you get into that gig?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Bernie Goldberg.
What was his book that he wrote?
Bias.
Great book.
Oh, it was the premier book on media bias, and it really shed a lot of light on a serious problem, one that's still very much out there. But I've been a longtime fan of his, and I used to go to his website, read his columns every week, and I happened to reply in the comment section to a column he had written because the topic, I had just done a column of it myself for the Greeley Tribune in an op-ed along that same topic, and he read the link that I put there and was impressed enough with it to ask if I wanted to start writing for his website. So I've been doing that for quite some time.
Congratulations. Now, tell us about you've got kids, and mm-hmm. you homeschool your kids?
No, not homeschool. I was the company I worked for went out of business kind of during the height of the Great Recession around, I think it was 2010, 2009. And at that time, my wife had been a stay-at-home mom for our kids for several years. She had a real good job before that and left it to become a stay-at-home mom. And this was during a pretty rough time when the unemployment rate was double digits. And it just so happened that an opportunity came up for her right as my company was going out of business for her to go back to work and do what she wanted to kind of do something new. I think she was getting ready to start wanting to talk to adults again during the day. So.
Right, right. No, I feel her pain.
Right.
So how old are your kids now?
10 and 8.
And so you get to write, which is something you love to do.
Yes.
And your wife is doing something she loves to do. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on that success.
Well, thank you.
Hey, tell us about how Mark Uterus came about.
Sure. Well, like you, I've been very frustrated with the war on women narrative for many years. You know,
as you should be. You've been waging it. You sexist white male,
yes,
middle aged. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's a lot of people may not know, you know, may not remember this, but it actually started here in Colorado with Ken Buck running in 2010, and you know, he lost during a race. A lot of people thought he would win, and it was because of that narrative. And the Democratic Party really picked up on that nationally in 2012 and kind of saw the results there and went with it. So, you know, it's been something that's frustrated me for a long time. I've written a number of columns about it. And anyway, I was on Twitter the night of that Denver Post debate with the Senate candidates. And that was where Lynn Bartels brought up the name Mark Uterus, and I happened to be on Twitter. I was promoting my book or something, and I just started seeing all these tweets from people saying, you know, you got to check out what Lynn just said. You know, this is hilarious. Someone needs to create a parody account for this. And I saw that a few times, and I kept thinking, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And even if it's good for just a few laughs for a couple days, I'll put out some funny stuff, kind of some over the top stuff that kind of mirrors a lot of the sentiment that that Udall was spreading about Garner, about the you know, the contraception and everything. So I did that, put out about 5 or 6 posts that night, went to bed, woke up the next morning, Twitchy had gotten a hold of it, Michelle Malkin's thing, and Bloomberg News had an article on it. And I'm just, whoa, what has happened here? And just so many people started following, and it kind of put a lot of pressure on me to keep going with it.
You must have started having fun, though. I mean, it must have been – because I got – absolutely hilarious.
Thank you.
And one of the things that I thought was so beautiful is what the left didn't learn from the Michael Bennett victory was the beauty of subtlety.
Yes.
And how they had won in a subtle fashion. It wasn't this raging over the top. There is a sexist pig Republican around every corner. It was really subtle, but they took it and they put it on steroids, and it made Mark Udall seem obnoxious. It was actually creepy. I mean, it was this creepy obsession. So you got to do the best thing ever. You got to put politics and comedy together, but it only works when there's that strand of truth that works its way through.
Well, no, it's funny because, you know, sometimes I would put things out there that I would think were a little bit over the top, but it was never angry. You know, it was always kind of a lighthearted way and definitely ridiculous. But at the same time, it wasn't that far off from some of the real stuff, not just spoken by Mark himself, but also his supporters. You know, you go out there on Twitter and some of this, the crazy stuff, this the conspiracy theories and all the things that Gardner was being blamed for. There was just so much material to do a parody of. And, yeah, it just was – it was funny because kind of a funny story that came along with that. The day that the Denver Post had endorsed Cory Gardner earlier in that day, I noticed that I started getting followed by all these Denver Post people that wrote for the Post. And I'm wondering, what is going on here? And I think they really wanted to see how I would react to the endorsement they saw coming up. And I think I made a lot of people laugh that day. I really kind of went overboard acting, you know, that I was completely outraged when I found out that the liberal Denver Post had kind of turned their back on me. So it was a fun day.
The betrayal.
Yes, that's exactly. I was calling for Lynn to be fired, and I was calling for heads to roll and subscriptions to end. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What surprised you the most about it?
You know, one of the things that really took me by surprise early on, and it was Twitchy helped, I think, get me a lot of followers initially because they put it out there and they have a lot of followers. And but the other parody accounts that are out there on Twitter, the ones that make fun of conservatives, they were really upset that I was doing this.
They were angry,
yes,
weren't they?
They were. I was encroaching on their turf, I guess. But they every time I would put something out there, they would reply to it telling me how funny I wasn't. And I'm like, okay, I get you. If you don't think it's funny, that's fine. But they kept doing it and kept – I'm like, well, then why do you keep – why are you following me and yep. commenting yep. on everything I put out of you? I think they knew that it was a pretty good thing. And one of them afterwards, one that spoofs – it was actually last night, one who spoofs Ted Cruz – liberal guy, but you know, who's making fun of Cruz, actually sent me a message that that was really pretty funny. I was telling you it wasn't, but it was funny.
Well, and you know, that's actually when somebody's being honest. You know, mm-hmm. it was funny to me. Laura Chapin, who is an angry Mark Udall supporter, fighting like it's 1965, and I remember one time where it was something like, "Oh, so you think that's funny, huh?"
Yes.
Well, kind of. Yeah, kind of I do. reproductive rights aren't funny. No, but your creepy obsession with them really kind of is.
It is. It was the Sandra Fluck approach where it's just nothing's funny in her book. You know, you bring up. But it was so ripe for parody. I mean, the stuff that was coming out of that campaign was just so silly. And it was, you know, I think it was good to kind of bring a comical approach to it and kind of help point out just how totally ridiculous it was.
You know, and the thing that I think you did so well was, one, you kept your sense of humor the entire time. You didn't.
I tried.
You, I can't imagine. It was funny. So once I found out who you were, I was like, oh my God, it was actually even funnier because I'm just thinking, this guy's probably just laughing the whole time because nobody knows who you are at that point. But two, here's the other thing I want to congratulate you on. Coming out, saying who you are, and then saying, I'm done now.
Yes.
Because you can take a joke too far. Mm-hmm. A joke can go, and now it's done. It's not, you know, whether you're, there's Scott Tipton's dog, there's, mm-hmm. so progressive left has all of their little minions that get angry in their parody accounts, but you were really smart in that you said, you know what, it was fun, glad that it did it, but now I'm done. What made you decide to do it last night? Had you always decided you would do it then?
Well, I like I mentioned, I always thought this was just going to be something I would do for the first couple of days and just kind of let it go. But it really kind of – people really enjoyed it, so I kept doing it. And I decided, yeah, once the election was over, there was no point in carrying it on. I mean, there's no point kicking a dead horse. Cory Gardner had won. Mark Udall's retired from the Senate now. And I just thought it would be, you know, there's no sense in getting real silly with it. It was over. I think it was a fun time, and it came to a close.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm talking with John Daly, author, writer, lives right here in northern Colorado. Is Mark Uterus on Twitter? But I should say was Mark Uterus on Twitter?
Yes.
Mark Uterus has retired or has left the building. Hopefully you still own the profile. Don't let that go.
Oh, no, I'm gonna keep it.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to find out more about his books, like what he really does besides tweet under Mark Udall, which will be gone. Where can you find more John Daly? 10:49 The Time. Just about 6 minutes before the top of the hour here on News Talk 1310 KFK's Amy Oliver Show. Just so you know, just a few minutes left before I turn it over to Brady and Jason and all things sports related from a Northern Colorado perspective. But in these last few moments, we're going to hear again from the real Mark Uterus, John Daly, who is an author, writer right here in Greeley. John, we only have a couple of minutes left, so Mark Uterus, you still have the Twitter profile, but essentially he's left the building.
Yes.
And tell us about what you do, what you're going to be doing. You write suspense and thrillers, and your book sold out last
yes.
night on Amazon.
Once I revealed my true identity, people, I think, were appreciative of the tweets that I'd put out over the election season, and so they bought my book, and it sold out, and it'll be back in a couple days, but it sold out on Amazon, but my book is called From a Dead Sleep. It's of the mystery suspense thriller genre. It's the story of a man named Sean Coleman who lives in a small rural mountain town in Colorado. He's a security guard there, and he's also kind of the town screw-up, a little bit of a drunk, a little bit of a jerk. Not everybody there likes him. But
you're dear to our hearts.
Yes, right? Exactly. I think everybody knows somebody like him. But while he's out in the forest one day, he happens to witness the suicide of a stranger. in which the man's body then falls into a river and he gets swept away downstream. And because there's no evidence left behind of what happened, nobody believes Sean's story, including the local law enforcement, who he has kind of a history with to begin with. So, but he decides to take it upon himself to investigate who this person was and why they did what they did. And in doing so, he begins to unearth a lot of secrets that people don't want out there and also cause a lot of dangerous situations for people.
And so how can we get your book?
Well, it's available on pretty much everywhere. You can order it if it's not on the shelves, but you can order it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on ebook on Kindle.
Does Audible.com have it? Because I need it on Audible.
I don't know. It might. I think most of them do, so it may be there.
Because I'm a huge book on tape fan. Jennifer and I often, so we do movie reviews every mm-hmm. Friday, and a lot of times we'll do book reviews, and I probably go through 4 or 5 books a month.
Oh, wow.
So I would love to do that. What's your future look like? Going to continue to write or more for Sean Coleman? Are we going to find more Sean Coleman?
Yes, I have the next book 2 in the Sean Coleman series is actually going to be out in September of 2015. It's going to be called Blood Trade is the name of the book. And so I'm probably going to do at least one more after that, the third one. But that's in the editing phase right now. I'm working with my publisher, kind of making it the best it can be. And
what does your publisher think of all this?
They know nothing about it.
Are they wondering why you sold out in a night?
They might be. I'm sure I'll get some questions about that. That's kind of funny. But
it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And of course, you'll be writing for Bernie Goldberg. You'll continue to do that.
I'll be doing that. I also write a weekly parenting column for the Greeley Tribune online. I've been doing that for about 2 years, but it's part of the Greeley Moms blog, and I'm their one dad that writes for the blog. So I'm usually in there on Tuesday, and every now and then my online column will show up in the back of the print version of the Greeley Tribune on Sundays.
Well, congratulations. Much success to you. We'll look forward to touching base with you. Thank you for making the last few weeks, and it was entertaining. It was a treat to wake up in the morning, pull up my tweet deck, look up the column, Mark Uterus, and just laugh. You did a phenomenal job. A gifted writer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun.
All right. John Daly, the real Mark Uterus. Mark Uterus has retired. So follow him at John Daly.
JohnDalyBooks.com.
JohnDalyBooks.com. Follow him there. You can find him on Twitter. Thanks so much for being on this show. That'll do it for me today. Agfinity Sports Day up next.
You're listening to News Talk